Well, in his song, I Want to Go Back, David Dunn sings of how sometimes as we get older, we can naturally drift from God. Maybe some of us have grown up in church or maybe grown up in Sunday school. We went every week. And what happens is as life goes on and we get older and maybe there's some struggles that come our way, we may find ourselves drifting from God. And so in this song, the main chorus goes, I want to go back to Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many of you learned that song as a young child? I think many of us have. And the idea of this song is, you know, sometimes our life becomes complicated. And so we just want that life where we have that really childlike faith, where we just simply trust God. We know that Jesus loves me because the Bible says so, and we're going to trust in Jesus. And sometimes life can make things messy, you could say. Well, over the next 6 weeks or so, can't guarantee it's going to be 6 weeks. It's going to be in that somewhere between 6 and 66. How's that? Somewhere between that, we're going to do a series called The Simple Life. And by simple life, I don't mean downsizing or getting rid of all that clutter in your closet. Does anyone have some clutter that needs to go out of your closet? I'm not talking about that kind of simple life, but I'm talking in the spiritual sense. Sometimes our lives can get, quote, spiritually cluttered. And we just need to get back to the basics. Let the main thing be the main thing. We need to simplify sometimes. And so... what we're going to do is try to simplify over the next 6 weeks or so. We're going to take that word simple and let each letter represent another word. So the letter S is going to stand for Scripture, or you could say the Word of God, or what we call our Bible. First verse we're going to look at today comes out of 2 Timothy 3:16. Apologies for no screen today. You're going to have to do some flipping if you want to get to the scriptures, but it's 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We see here that scripture has its origin in God. How many of you have heard people say, oh, the Bible is just written by men, right? That's all it is. But yet we see here that it is derived from God. It is inspired by God. God breathed on it. God moved upon the prophets and the apostles to have what we have today and what we call our Bible. God has his fingerprint all over his word. And we see that Paul, because he knew that it came from God, he had confidence that it would be useful in his life. That it would, as the psalmist says, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It would be a guide for our lives, something that we could put our whole trust and faith in. And so as we think about the scriptures and how it relates to us as believers, I want to address two groups of people. You're all, and I'm all, in one of two groups, and that is the undisciplined group and the disciplined group. Now, you may feel like, well, sometimes I'm disciplined and sometimes I'm undisciplined, and that may happen. But we're in one of these two groups. And I want to address each group, number one, with a word of encouragement, and then secondly, a word of admonishment in each of those groups. Well, first, to those who are undisciplined. And by undisciplined, I just simply mean you never read the word. You're not disciplined in opening the Bible for yourself and taking time to read it. And I know us old school guys, we use the old this, but some of you may have it on your phones or an app or an iPad. However you choose to read it is fine. Maybe you have an audio thing in your car. I know Mike shares how he, as he's driving, he'll just put in the word and listen to it. However you take it in, this is what we're getting at. Well, an undisciplined person never really takes it in. And my prayer is that there's no one here who is undisciplined. That would be super. However, my guess is that if I go by Barna's research, there's probably maybe one or two or more that are undisciplined in the Word of God. So I first off want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to spend time reading the Word of God. If you are a believer in Christ, then maybe you've forgotten, or maybe you've never heard that this is really God's love letter to you. It's a Heavenly Father who's writing to his child about how to know our Heavenly Father better and how to have a closer relationship with him. Perhaps you've forgotten that this is all about relationship. This Word of God, it's not just a set of do's and don'ts, but it's about getting to know God better and really getting to know ourselves better as well, what God has to say about who we are. Maybe you just see the Word of God as simply a fire and hammer. We heard that from the prophet Jeremiah, and certainly it is. How many of us have ever maybe been in caught in sin, and all of a sudden the Word of God smacks us and we are broken by that? God does that. But God also encourages us through the Word. He brings us great comfort, great consolation as well. We need to see it as a way that we commune with our God. And you see, if we never pick up the Word of God, then we'll fail to see the important truths that we need to know. Very encouraging truths. Like what? Well, let's look at one. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bible, Matthew 12, 17 through 21. We see here Matthew, who is writing really to a Jewish audience. He's speaking about what the prophet Isaiah once said and how that prophet Isaiah was actually talking about Jesus when he wrote this. Matthew 12, 17 through 21. Matthew says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." What an awesome description of Jesus here, because what we find is through the prophet Isaiah that through the heart of Jesus is when we are weary and broken and life just seems to beat us down. And when we're singing "This Little Light of Mine," there's another old song that many of us learned as a young child, and we're singing "This Little Light of Mine," but we know in our hearts that our lights are just barely flickering. Jesus is not going to come along and go, "Sorry, I'm going to snuff you out." But he loves us so much, he's so compassionate toward us, that he wants that flame to get brighter. When he knows that we've been beaten and bruised by life, he doesn't come along and go, "I'm going to break you in half. There, take that." He encourages us. And how would we know that about Jesus unless we read it in the Word of God? And so if you are undisciplined in the Word of God, let me encourage you to be faithful, to spend time reading the Word of God so that you might know God, your relationship with God might grow in him. Well, secondly, I'd like to address the undisciplined with maybe a stronger admonishment. You see, some of us may be weary, and so we need a little boost. We need a little encouragement. But others may need a good, swift, spiritual kick in the backside, right? I mean, that happens at times. So we may need some stronger admonishment. You see, sometimes we may get weary and discouraged, and that may keep us from the Word of God. But at other times, we may just be plain old stubborn. We know we should be in it and feeding on it, but we're just saying, "I ain't doing it." And so if that's you, I hope none of you are there, but if that's you, then let me give you some strong admonishment. Charles Spurgeon once told his congregation this. He said, "Some of you have so much dust on your Bible that you could take your finger and spell out the word condemnation. Now, what was he saying? Why did Mr. Spurgeon say that? Was he just being a bully? Was he just saying, you better read your Bible or you're going to hell? Didn't Charles know that we're justified by faith, that we're not saved by reading our Bible or by the things that we do, but simply by the grace of God and the cross of Christ? He knew that very well. But you see, when Charles looked out at his congregation, and he knew that there were people that came in week after week, year after year, and they never cracked their Bible, that was a red flag for Charles. Why? Because if we truly know God, then we'll want to know him better. And if we never open the word, we won't know him any better. And so that's why he said what he did. You see, a Bible with a lot of dust on it sends a strong message to God. What is that message? It says, well, I'm good, God. I'm wise enough. I'm smart enough. I'm in a good place. I don't need to grow anymore. My life is just fine, actually. I don't need you, is what that says to God. And that all reeks of what? Of what's called pride, right? When we don't need God, when we're wise enough and good enough and smart enough. That's what it shows. Could you imagine a couple who on their wedding day, let's just pretend there's a wedding going on today. I know there's some weddings coming up, but there's a wedding going on. And as the couple comes down the front aisle and they stand before the pastor, they commit their lives to each other. And they do the I do's, and they promise to love each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, till death do us part. And then they depart. They walk down the aisle to the good old wedding march, right? Do, 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 do. They walk down, and then they go out the doors. And then they go out to the parking lot. And they get in separate cars. And they go their separate ways, and they never, ever see each other or talk to each other ever again. We would say, that is absurd. That is ridiculous. That's not love. You guys say you love each other, and yet you never spend time with each other. You never talk to each other. You don't grow together. And yet, how many people have walked down the aisle of a church? How many people have maybe said a prayer? How many people have joined a church, and they never commune with God? They never open the word. They have no desire to get to know God any better. And this was why Spurgeon said what he did. That if you don't have a desire to know God better, then you actually stand in a very bad place of condemnation before God. And so my heart today is, please, please don't be that person who could take that finger and spell out the word condemnation on their Bible. But know this, if you are truly in Christ, number one, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God's desire for your life is that you would know him better, that you would grow in your love for him. Well, the second group of people I'd like to address today are those who are disciplined in the word. I like to do the same thing, a word of encouragement and a word of admonition. First is encouragement. If you are here today and you are disciplined, you spend time in the word continually, consistently, I want to say praise God. Praise God for that. That's a good thing. And I want to say this, keep doing it. Keep at it. Don't give up. Don't stop. Because know this, you have an enemy of your soul who does not want you to spend time in the word. And we all have these things called sinful natures that also don't want to spend time in the word of God. So that even if you have been so disciplined, you've spent the last 27 years every day, haven't missed a day in the word, guess what? Tomorrow morning, your flesh, your sinful nature may just rise up and say, yeah, you can skip today. I mean, after all, 27 years in a row, who's ever done that? you deserve a break today. That's what our flesh will say. And yet the Holy Spirit hopefully will remind us that, no, I need to feed on this every day. This is more important than my daily bread, than the food that I feed my body. I need food for my soul each and every day. We need to see the word as a precious, precious thing. John MacArthur once said this, that we should count it a wasted day if we have not been enriched in some way by the word of God. In other words, have we learned something new? Or have we been reminded of something that we already knew? This is what every day should be. Or we could say, you know, that's really just a wasted day. And so if you have been faithful and disciplined, I want to encourage you to keep being faithful and to stay disciplined. Keep filling up on the Word of God. Keep feeding your soul the good stuff of His Word. Let me share with you from Colossians 3:16. There Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. The idea there is that the word of God would dwell so richly, so full, so sweet, really. This past week, we ate well at the conference. Just so you know, if you're wondering, you know, we didn't just have hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. They fed us pretty well there. And every day was like these really nice, fancy, sweet, rich desserts. And I usually don't have dessert too often, but they gave us like these cannoli things, right, with the pastry and then this sugar that just squirts out. This is the idea of what it means for the Word of God to dwell in you richly. Like that cannoli is stuffed with sugar. Let the Word of God dwell in you. Let it be sweet to your soul. Well, the next word is a word of admonishment. And you may think, well, gee, if someone's disciplined in the Word, if they're in it every day, why would they need any admonishment? For the very same reason that the guy with the dusty Bible who could write condemnation, very same reason. And that reason is pride. Pride. You see, as we read the word, it's very possible for pride to creep into our hearts and souls. We see that in Jesus' day, he had to address this area of pride for those who were well acquainted with the word of God. Let me give you two examples of that. The first comes out of the Gospel of John, John chapter 5. 39 and 40. Jesus here is speaking to some Jews who opposed him. And he said this. He said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Here Jesus addresses those who had a what you call a high view of Scripture, but a very low view of Jesus. And even today, you may come across people who may quote certain verses out of the Bible. They may be able to tell you certain things that are in the Bible. They may even like some of the moral teachings that come from the Bible, like the Golden Rule, right? Who doesn't love the Golden Rule? And yet, their view of Jesus is very low. Jesus is not king. Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not God of their lives. And so Jesus here addresses people like that in the Gospel of John. These people did not realize that the purpose of the Scriptures is to drive us into a personal relationship with Jesus where we glory in His name and where we make much of Jesus Christ. If there is a disconnect between the scriptures and a relationship with Jesus, then we have a problem, don't we? Because Jesus said, these scriptures that you read, they testify about me, about who I am, they reveal me. And so if you're here today and you're in the Word and it doesn't drive you to Jesus, it doesn't point you to Jesus, your relationship with Jesus is non-existent, then the word of admonition is you need to repent. Simply means to change your mind, to have a new way to think. So think about the Bible as something that points you to Jesus Christ and what He did for you. and then humble yourself under the mighty hand of Jesus. Confess that he is indeed Lord, that you need him, that he is the Son of God who came to save sinners such as us. The second passage I'd like to look at comes from Matthew 23, verse 5. And Jesus here is, most of you are familiar with Matthew 23, the woe to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, those religious leaders in Jesus' day. In Matthew 23, verse 5, Jesus said this about them. He said, "Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long." And you may be thinking, what in the world is a phylactery? Well, that was just simply a little box that the people would either wear in their foreheads or on their wrists, and it would contain scripture verses. And so what Jesus is basically saying here is that these guys, through the word of God, are actually trying to draw attention to themselves by having nice, big, look at my phylactery. Woohoo, yeah, look at that one. Yeah, and they just wanted people to look at them and adore them for their view of the word of God. And this is something that we may slip into as well if we're not careful. You see, we can talk about the word of God, not because it's so precious and sweet and it's the way I get to know God better, but so that people will be impressed by me. People will think more highly of me because of what I know about the scriptures. And of course, it's most dangerous for guys like me, right, who are pastors, who are preaching and teaching all the time. But it can happen to any believer who can boast in the word so that glory will come not to God, but back to themselves, so that they will appear more spiritual than Joe Schmo because of what they know about the Bible. Or maybe, you know, look at me, look at the notes that I'm taking right now. And can you see that? Yeah. And so there's a desire to be glorified because of your knowledge of the word or your pursuit in that way. And for you, you would need a word of admonition. And so if your conversations about the word, how much you read, how much you memorize, are steeped in pride, then that's a huge problem. And you too need to repent of that and see the word of God not as something that should cause pride, but should actually cause humility. The more we read the word, the more humble we should become. It should drive us to greater and greater humility. So, the S today will stand for Scripture. And you may say, well, how is that going to make my life more simpler? I mean, you're just adding more to my plate here, Pastor. You want me to read my Bible every day, and I don't have time to barely brush my teeth. Well, I'm telling you, trust me on this. If you spend time in the Word every single day, there will be a simplicity about your life. Just trust me on that. You try it. Spend time in the Word each day, getting to know God better. And you will find that there is a sweet simplicity that God brings to your life, a deeper walk with Him. So often our minds can get cluttered with all kinds of things like doubt and discouragement and even despair. But the Word of God has a way of clearing out all the junk and bringing a simplicity to our souls. And finally, while I would love for each and every one of you to walk out of the doors today and have a passion to read the Word, to be even more diligent and more disciplined than you already are, that's my desire for each and every one of you. One thing I want to make very clear is I don't want you to miss the boat on this. And that is, just reading your Bible more is not going to please God. It's not going to put you in a right relationship with God. You see, if you have never come to Christ and trusted in Jesus, then all your reading of the Bible will not put you in a good standing before God. And so what you need most of all is to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you've broken God's law. He is holy. And there's only one who has bridged the gap between sinful man and holy God. And that is the man Christ Jesus, who stretched out his arms and allowed himself to be crucified for sinners such as us. And the cross cries out to each of us and it says, trust me. You doubt my love? Just look at the cross of Christ. Look at the Son of God, the creator of all things, who is willing to take on flesh and be mocked and ridiculed, to become a servant for humanity and die a criminal's death upon a cross so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, set free, and begin to have a relationship with God. And if you haven't started there, then you have to start there. Before you go out here and try to read your Bible more, you have to start there. You have to know Jesus personally as your Savior and as your Lord. And if you have any questions about how to do that or what that means, what that looks like, then please, please talk with me today so I can share with you from the Word of God how to be made right with God through a relationship with Jesus, through faith in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, the more I read it, the more I am convinced that it is indeed your word. Father, the consistency of it is incredible when we read from cover to cover. And we see, God, that everything really points to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Everything points really to the cross where victory is won for us. And so we thank you today, Jesus, for your cross. We thank you for what you have accomplished, that you have died for us, the godly for the ungodly, the righteous one for unrighteous sinners. And so we glory today in the cross. And Father, I pray for each one here today that knows Jesus, that they would have a deeper desire to read the word, not as just a dutiful thing, but Lord, a way to get to know you better, a way to really love you more, to foster love in that relationship. So Lord, help us with that. Lord, may we never be so legalistic that we forget that it's a relationship with you that you desire. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who's maybe never taken that first step of faith and trust in Jesus to save them, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would just humble themselves and acknowledge their sin, acknowledge their need of a Savior, and put their faith in Jesus. Lord, we love you. We again thank you for your word. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.